Hello and welcome to this Open Systems Media webinar on a Edge to Enterprise Real-Time Service-Oriented Architecture, or SOA for short. I'm Mike Demler, Editorial Director for Open Systems Media's DSP FPGA.com. And for our monthly tech e-brief newsletters on those technologies, as well as for Android, EDA, and LTE. I will be serving as the moderator for today's webinar. To start, I'd like to have an introduction to our topic today, the world of enterprise infrastructure software is undergoing dramatic change. Companies that operate large physical systems at the operational edge are actively working to merge those systems with their IT business applications in order to improve efficiencies and optimize their businesses. Because enterprise and operational systems are designed around very different architectures, integrating these two worlds into a coherent system of systems is a difficult technical challenge. Where a typical industrial automation system might generate tens of millions of discrete data points, for example, your operational infrastructure must be capable of moving a dynamically changing subset of that data to your enterprise service bus without overwhelming the system. In this webinar, you will learn about the solution which RTI has developed to meet these challenges called RTI Connext. RTI Connext is a next-generation software infrastructure that fully supports the business objective of integrating IT and OT, the operational technology systems. RTI Connext is based on the RTI data bus, which has been designed into hundreds of high-performance distributed systems. It combines the performance, scalability, and reliability needed by operational systems with the integration and flexible messaging capabilities of IT systems. Connext is the first edge-to-enterprise real-time SOA platform. Before we get started, I just have a few housekeeping items. Today's presentation will consume about 50 minutes, leaving us 10 minutes or so for questions at the end. There are three buttons for you to take notice of on your screen. First, the Enlarge Slides button. By clicking on this button, you'll be able to view the slides full screen. You will also see that there is a button for you to download the slides, and you can also click the Forward to a Friend button to send an email and invite a colleague to join this event. You'll also find on your console window a button that allows you to enter questions in real time. We'll do our best to address all of your questions during the closing Q&A question session. If you have a question pertaining to the ECAST operation itself, one of our technicians will respond back to you during the ECAST. We may not be able to get to all of your questions before the end of the allotted time, but in that case, someone will get back to you after the ECAST with more information. Finally, this ECAST will be posted online within 48 hours, and an audio podcast will also be available. We'll have more details at the end of this webinar. So on to the presentation. Our speaker today will be Kurt Schacker, Chief Commercial Officer at RTI. Kurt has more than 20 years of experience, starting as a software engineer developing flight software for the NASA Hubble Space Telescope, before moving on to a career in worldwide sales, marketing, and business development. Over to you, Kurt.
Okay, well, thank you, Mike, and good morning, everybody, and welcome. As Mike said, I'm Kurt Schacker, Chief Commercial Officer with RTI, and just a quick note on RTI, we're a provider of infrastructural communication software for mission-critical real-time systems, and I hope you'll find the session today to be both useful and informative. We have a lot of information to cover, so I'm going to go ahead and jump right into it. So the topic for today is Edge to Enterprise Real-Time Service-Oriented Architecture, or SOA. And I think it probably makes sense to simply start with a literal definition of what we mean by that. So what we're talking about here is an infrastructure that combines two very distinct sets of capabilities. The first really are SOA principles that are well-established in enterprise computing. So we're talking about things like standardized service contracts, loose coupling, abstraction, those sorts of capabilities. as well as the capabilities that are much more typical of real-time systems, things like deterministic response times, low latency and jitter, extreme forms of reliability, and so forth. So the idea is essentially an infrastructure that includes support for both of these diverse sets of features. And we refer to this unique combination of capabilities as an edge-to-enterprise real-time SOA. And we'll certainly talk a lot more about that as we go along. But I think even more importantly, the infrastructure represents a solution to a business challenge that we believe is rapidly becoming a focus for many companies around the world in a wide range of industries. And that business challenge is the integration of two types of systems that have traditionally been kept very separate from each other. What we're talking about are enterprise IT systems and physical sort of asset-intensive, what some people call operational systems. And we'll talk about more what we mean by both of those systems in a moment to make sure we're clear on those terms. So to appreciate the value that one might get out of an edge-to-enterprise real-time SOA, we really need to understand the business problems that such an infrastructure aims to address. But let's start with a couple of important definitions. So first, by enterprise IT systems, what we're talking about here are the well-known systems that are used to run businesses. These are things like, these include applications like supply chain management, manufacturing resource planning, customer relationship management, and those sorts of things. And I think it's fair to say most people are very familiar with these systems because they're really ubiquitous in the business world. The other type of system we're discussing are what we call operational systems. Now, what these are the physical asset-intensive systems that form the infrastructure for the world around us in many, many industries. So things like industrial control, energy, transportation, aerospace and defense, medical electronics, air traffic control, the list really goes on and on. And I think it's worth mentioning here that there are a few notable parameters that characterize these systems. For example, they tend to generate and often consume huge amounts of data. And the accurate storage and transmission of that data is of paramount importance to the system's integrity. So speaking of integrity, another characteristic is that is the implications of failure in this class of system. Essentially, failure can lead to, in many cases, loss of property, great loss of property, and in some cases, even loss of life. So reliability is of the utmost importance in operational systems. And I'd ask you to keep those characteristics in mind as we go through the topic here today, and I think you'll see the important nature of that. So perhaps the differences between operational systems and enterprise systems is so obvious, maybe it doesn't need to be explained. But maybe there's one key difference that sums it up nicely, which is that whereas enterprise systems are used to run businesses, operational systems are deployed for generating a company's revenues. It's what they do for a living, if you will. And so hopefully these definitions make sense and get us grounded in the topic. Now, with respect to these diverse systems, there's an important evolution going on, which I think helps puts the subject in some context. And that is that essentially you could think of these systems as moving toward each other. And they are doing so for some very important reasons that we're going to discuss in detail. One way to look at this evolution is really in three stages, what we call here convergence, integration, and alignment. So convergence refers to the idea that these systems are increasingly based on a common set of technologies, things like the Linux operating system, Oracle databases, Intel processors, and so forth. But of these, by far the most important of them is the TCP/IP networking protocol, since that's what really provides the fundamental connectivity, without which, of course, none of the things we're talking about would be happening. In my view, convergence is really a facilitator of this evolutionary process because more commonality in the underlying technologies can reduce the complexity for bringing these systems together. Secondarily, integration is what I think of as getting something useful out of the fact that these systems are connected to each other. So, for example, being able to exchange data in real time or doing more automated control by removing human decision makers from the control loop. It's important to point out here that connectivity by itself does not enable these benefits. You need an appropriate software infrastructure to sort of sit on top of that connectivity, which really leads to the focus of today's discussion. But before we get to that, the final step in the evolution that I think is worth mentioning is alignment, where companies are able to apply a uniform, holistic governance strategy across their entire organization, including both their business systems and their operational systems, which I think is really virtually impossible to do today because of the inherent separation of these systems in today's world. So for today's session, we're going to be focusing on integration, but hopefully this puts the topic in more of a general context. So what I'd like to do is explore and try to at least begin to answer what I think are three important questions. The first of those is, why are companies interested in integrating enterprise and operational systems? What is their underlying motivation? And we need to understand what these companies are trying to achieve so that we can deliver solutions that ultimately meet their needs. Secondly, what makes it difficult? Obviously, the question that I'm asking presupposes that it is difficult, which I think I can readily confirm based on my own conversations with many, many companies, as well as some very good market research that's out there, some of which we'll be talking about in just a moment. And finally, if we agree that the need to integrate enterprise and operational systems is real, how can we actually go about it? Are there solutions out there that get us closer to that objective? And hopefully by the end of the session, we'll have made some good progress against these three important questions. So let's start with trying to understand the basic motivation. Fortunately, Gartner has done some excellent research in this area. They've talked to a large set of their clients and asked them why they're interested in integrating their enterprise and operational systems. By the way, I should mention here that Gartner uses the terminology IT/OT when they talk about this. So let's explain that a little bit. IT, of course, stands for integration technology, which, of course, is the enterprise business systems that we were talking about a moment ago. And OT here stands for operational technology, meaning the computing infrastructure that runs these operational systems that we were describing. Now, what Gartner found is that there are four primary motivators at work here: costs, risk, speed, and strategic advantage. And you can see the list there of each of those particular areas. So all of these, I think it's fair to say, are extremely important factors to anyone running a business. But personally, I was particularly struck by the idea that companies believe they can achieve a strategic advantage over their competitors by progressing an IT/OT integration effort. For example, the idea that you could create a new product or service merely by virtue of integrating your enterprise and operational systems, I think, is a very, very powerful idea. And it's this type of research that starts to give you an idea that there's some, I think, important and powerful trends at work here. Another quality piece of research out there is by an organization called Oxford Economics, who coined a term that I can only say I wish I invented myself, real-time business, which I think sums it up all very, very nicely. And they provide a definition of that term where they essentially summarize the fundamental tenet of the value proposition of IT/OT integration, and that fundamental tenet is speed. And they use the word instantaneous, which is notionally a way of really saying real-time. But their point is that by integrating business systems and operational systems, everything a company does can be speeded up such that ultimately it becomes instantaneous or immediate. And by doing so, every aspect of a business is enhanced. What I really like is that they call out specific discrete benefits on both the business side and the operational side of the ledger. So at the management level, you can plan better, make faster decisions, take advantage of market opportunities, cope with changes in the market, and so forth, all really incredibly valuable to really any business. In addition, there are real gains to be made at the operational level, capturing more data more quickly, reducing inventories, which of course can save huge amounts of money, getting systems to market quickly, and so forth. So Oxford Economics' conclusions were based on what I think is a very solid piece of research. They reached out to 525 executives in four different industries, all of which are very heavily intense on operational systems, and across 13 different countries, which I think conveys the really the global nature of what's happening. And again, like Gartner, they called out both strategic benefits as well as tactical ones, many of which we list here. They're also, they also managed to locate some early adopters of IT/OT integration strategies, and through that those contacts, they were able to quantify some very, I think, impressive results, even with the early adopters, 21% average revenue gains with even higher expectations going forward, and 19% cost reduction. So even at this early stage, I think we've got some very good validation of the business benefits that our company, that companies are working to achieve. So in total, we have two quality research organizations, both of whom are reaching very similar conclusions about the value of IT/OT integration. So to that, I would add a third set of data points, and that is what I've heard directly from RTI's own customers. Now, I've been fortunate enough to have had dozens of conversations with companies around the world, and I've listed here some of the more specific examples of the business benefits that customers have told me that they're looking for, and I list those here. But really, I think even without the specific examples, at one level, it just sort of makes intuitive sense, right? If we can bring the massive quantities of data from a real-time operational system into the enterprise, feed that data into our business systems, and then use the outcomes of those business applications to improve the operational performance and the efficiency of the business, then I think the benefits of doing all of that seem almost almost obvious. So before we begin exploring how we might go about pursuing an IT/OT integration strategy, we should really spend a few minutes talking about some of the use cases that we would likely see in a fully integrated system, which I think might start to give us an appreciation of the technical challenges that we face. And there are three separate use cases that I'd like to really just touch on briefly. The first is what I call sparse dynamic interest from a large data set. So this example applies to almost any large system that has lots of sensors. So you can think of things like industrial control applications, energy, asset tracking. Think, for example, of an operator of a large refinery who at any particular point in time wants to sample small sections of a plant, of a refinery at any given point in time. So the situation here is that there are a very, very large number of data sources, and each of those data sources is unique. The data associated with those sources is unique, and the data can change on a very rapid basis. And by rapid, I'm talking, you know, tens, hundreds, thousands of times per second. Okay, so that's sort of part of the equation. The other part of the equation is that there are multiple consumers that are interested in different subsets of that data. And their subsets of interest are small relative to the total available data, and those subsets can change at any time on a random basis and can change, in fact, very rapidly. So there's some real challenges associated with this use case if you really think about how all of that's going to work, okay? For example, you've got to figure out a way to move all of that data reliably from the operational side where it's being generated to the enterprise side where at some level it needs to be processed. You've also got to quickly be able to respond to requested changes in the subset of interest from any one of these particular consumers of the data. And what I would point out here is that for small data sets, this isn't a particularly difficult computer science problem. Notionally, it's quite simplistic. You know, let's say you've got 100 sources of data. Just put everything on the wire, send it to the other side, and really just do the filtering on the receiving side. Makes perfect sense. The challenge comes in, though, when you start to get larger data sets. As soon as you start to approach 1,000, it gets more challenging. And over, you know, 100,000, and we've seen systems with millions or more data points, it becomes a very, very different problem indeed. And one of the things you really have to consider is strategies that enable you to filter that data on the sending side, not on the receiving side. Because remember, the interest set can change any time and often. And so it's simply not feasible to put this massive amount of data on the wire where you're only interested in a very, very tiny fraction of that data at any particular point in time. So I think this use case is very interesting because it illustrates what I think are the general challenges associated with scale. Small problems, I think, can be solved in a variety of ways, but when you take a given problem and you scale it up by a factor of 100 or 1,000 or a million, suddenly whatever approach you might have been taking may not work anymore. And I think scale is really one of the real issues and the challenges that any infrastructure is going to face when you use it to accommodate an IT/OT integration strategy. A second use case that I'd point out here is called mixed communication patterns. And it really applies to any situation in which applications using different communication patterns need to share information or services. So imagine, for example, a business application that is a JMS client using a request reply pattern that needs to interact with an event-driven application that's using a publish-subscribe paradigm, okay? So, you know, request-reply, of course, is the classic pattern of messaging systems, but publish-subscribe is the classic pattern of event-driven operational systems. And what I want to do, of course, is to be able to enable these two applications to communicate with each other. But in most communication strategies, there's a communication paradigm match. And so it's pretty straightforward when everybody's speaking publish-subscribe or everybody's speaking request-reply. But when you begin to mix those, how do you resolve those differences in sort of the fundamental language, you might say, almost the way these applications are expecting to communicate? Yet another of the challenges that you're going to run into in an IT/OT integration effort. And the third one that I'll touch on briefly is, I think, a more generalized case of the former, which is really the interoperability, more general sense of interoperability between systems. So in many cases, you've got legacy systems, for example, which cannot be modified, but they also can't be thrown away. So when you're introducing a new system with advanced capabilities, you've got to some way enable these new systems to share data and services with the legacy systems. And remember, the trick is you can't add any new capability to the legacy systems. It's essentially off limits. This, I would say, is a particularly important requirement for aerospace and defense applications where the equipment is deployed with very, very long life cycles. It's cost prohibitive to build new systems from scratch. And you've also got situations in which you've got equipment from many, many different vendors across different military services and, in many cases, coalition situations with equipment from different countries, all that has to be made to work together. So it's particularly challenging, I would say, in that industry. So, again, the situation is here. You've got equipment that has been developed independently, various performance requirements, different communication patterns, various data model implementations. And so the challenge is to effectively connect these systems in such a way that they can share data, they can share services, and that the operations of any particular system are not impeded in any way. So Really, we're just touching on all of these very lightly, but hopefully in just beginning to think through these use cases, it's starting to become clear that the technical challenges associated with integrating IT and OT systems are not by any means trivial. And in fact, going back to the research for a minute, that has really backed this up. So going back to the Oxford Economics Survey, they found that the biggest concern on the part of CIOs and system architects was the availability of technology to enable the integration of such diverse systems. And you can also see from the survey result that there's really a high lack of understanding of the domain, which is also generates concern for people who are going to be implementing such strategies. So I think the appreciation of the problem is pretty well understood. And actually, for their part, Gartner paints, I think, a very compelling and clear picture of the challenge. So if you want to start to appreciate what the challenges associated with a fully integrated IT-OT system are, just really start by considering how radically different these two types of systems are in almost every measurable way, starting with the purpose for which each of them was built. Enterprise service buses were built to work on human timescales and are constructed around centralized topologies. Now, of course, there are very good reasons for this architecture. They do a good job serving the needs of the business applications that run on them. Operational systems, on the other hand, have to respond in real time to real-world events that occur at orders of magnitude higher frequencies, and their architectures tend to be peer-to-peer to provide the utmost in scalability and reliability. So tying these two systems together results in what I like to call the ultimate impedance mismatch. And any effort to integrate such systems is going to have to figure out how to resolve that mismatch. So one of the questions we've gotten is, why does it seem like the interest in this topic has jumped so suddenly and really in so many industries around the world? Well, in my opinion, the value of integrating business and operational systems is not a new thing. It's actually been talked about for quite a long time, and I think the business benefits have really been well understood. Remember, we said a moment ago, they're really almost intuitive. But if the business benefits have been the carrot, I think maybe what we've been missing is the stick. And that stick is scale. Scale is making it such that it's no longer an option to consider new architectural approaches to the integration of systems. And you just have to look at what's going on. The first operational systems were just standalone computing nodes, very simple by modern standards, small embedded systems. But in a very short time, probably just 15 years or so, we've evolved from those single node applications to network systems, then system of systems, and finally, really, to where we are today, which are heterogeneous systems of systems. And that has resulted in an absolute explosion of scale. More things producing more data faster and faster. And you're hearing phrases out there like the Internet of Things, the Facebook of Things, and so forth. So remember what we said earlier about scale. A given system might work just fine at a certain size, but when you scale it up, suddenly it can fail. And that's fundamentally what I believe is happening. I think existing infrastructures that are in use today have been working okay up until now, but they're beginning to fail under the loads that we are throwing at them. And I think what that's doing is it's greatly raising the sense of urgency to find solutions here. So one question that might come up is, why can't I just take my enterprise service bus and extend it out to the operational system? Well, I think the problem with that is that ESBs or enterprise service buses really were not designed to handle the volume, the speed, the response times of data generated in operational systems. Remember the architectures that we talked about a moment ago in the Gartner slide. They certainly work well at the top of the chain where integration is sort of the fundamental principle that they're designed around. But these ESBs tend to fail when they encounter the what I would call the realities of the operational world. And we've had this fundamental point confirmed to us over and over again through our customer engagements. The starting point for virtually every one of these conversations has been our infrastructure worked up to a point, and when we crossed that point, it failed. And when I say crossed that point, I mean in terms of some dimension of scale, more data, more producers of data, that sort of thing. There is one customer who said it to me in a way that I think is just about as succinct and I'll say serendipitous as you can put it. What they said is, we tried to extend our enterprise service bus to the edge and it hit a wall at real time. And I think that's about as clear a statement as can be said about trying to start at the top and work your way down. So, as you might be able to tell by now, RTI has been thinking very hard about this problem. And we're excited because we think we have the core components of the solution. What we believe is called for here is an infrastructure that combines the most important tenets of both the IT and the OT worlds, namely the integration and rich messaging capabilities that are well established and well understood in enterprise solutions, along with the extreme performance and scalability of operational systems. And you know, we believe strongly enough in this that we've recently launched a new product family to address this challenge. We call it RTI Connext. And what it does is it combines those diverse capabilities into a single infrastructure, which when you put all of that together, we think forms the basis of what we call this edge-to-enterprise real-time SOA. So here's what that product line looks like as a whole, and I'll just talk briefly about each of the discrete products here. So Connext Integrator is really where the systems are plugged together. It's the integration point for these diverse systems of systems. And fundamentally what it does is it resolves this impedance mismatch that we were talking about earlier. Connext Messaging is where we have embodied the IT-style or enterprise-style communication patterns, things like command-response, request-reply, and queues and so forth, along with, of course, the publish-subscribe pattern, which is the predominant paradigm for event-driven real-time operational systems. Connext DDS is a messaging solution that is designed specifically for systems which require compliance with the Object Management Group Data Distribution, or DDS, standard. RTI was, of course, the founding member of the DDS standard. We continue to co-chair the OMG DDS Working Group, and by outside estimates, we have something like 70% plus market share of all DDS installations around the world. And finally, Connext Micro is really designed for resource-constrained devices at the very, very edge of the network. With Micro, we believe that even the smallest sensors can directly participate in the edge-to-enterprise messaging system. So the heart of Connext is the RTI data bus. The data bus is a fundamentally different foundation from enterprise messaging solutions in that it is a data-centric bus. So in simple terms, and we could do a whole webinar on just this one topic, but in simple terms, data-centric means really that the infrastructure itself understands and has information about the data that moves through it. The information about the data is typically called metadata. And what this does is it relieves the applications from having to track system state information, since that state information is represented by the data and it's present in the infrastructure. And that together, along with the peer-to-peer architecture of this data bus, leads to an order of magnitude advantage and scalability over non-data-centric approaches, what some people would call message-centric approaches. It also forms the most basic tenet of integration, since systems really integrate with each other through an understanding of their respective data representations, which are present and therefore discoverable in the data-centric bus. So the RTI data bus is the foundation of our infrastructure and is the same technology that has been deployed in hundreds of thousands of the world's most mission-critical systems. So here we have an architectural view of the product line. Again, I would just point out here that all of the products are built around the RTI data bus. But I would also mention that another sort of a beauty or elegance of this data-centric architecture is that other kinds of services can be plugged directly into the bus in the same way that a customer's application could be plugged in. So in addition to providing just the core messaging capabilities, we can also offer some value-added services and tools that customers can take advantage of, both in their development environments as well as in their deployed systems. Now, before we close and take some of the questions, I'd like to provide a couple of real-world examples to really give you a sense of what some companies out there have been able to achieve through leveraging of this next-generation technology. So the first one that I want to talk about is Siemens Wind Power, and we put a press release out there on this last month, and if you'd like to go and take a look at more details, you'll find it on our website. But Siemens is the world's largest manufacturer of wind turbines, and as they were evolving their system, they had some specific challenges that they were undergoing. First of all, they wanted to be able to really step up their business and scale to much larger power plants. And they also were interested in achieving performance increases through increasing their sampling rates, which is to say the amount of data that was being generated from their wind turbines. And part of the motivation for doing that was to really achieve a kind of a functional expansion from simply being able to enable their customers to monitor the operations of the wind farm to actually being able to exert control. And that, I think, is another good example of the kind of strategic advantage that we talked about earlier, right? By increasing this infrastructural capability, they were seeking to essentially offer a new product or service, if you will, to their customers. And the challenge that they faced was that the infrastructure that they had used was challenged by that new set of requirements. So we, of course, engaged with Siemens, and they adopted our data bus technology. And through doing that, they were really able to accomplish their technical and therefore their business objectives. So some really, really important capabilities. For example, being able to really achieve a predictive and preventive maintenance capability, right? If you can understand with more fidelity on the business side what's happening on the operational side, then you can do a better job of tracking trends and perhaps spot problems through the understanding of those trends before the problems actually occur. So prevent a problem with the system as opposed to simply responding to it. Okay, smart diagnostics, being able to improve the availability and the efficiency of the wind farm, right? So the direct value proposition here, of course, is achieving energy through wind. So if you can improve the efficiency of the wind farm, then you get more energy. Therefore, the operation is more profitable. Production planning, doing a much better job of really understanding where the energy needs to be delivered for different clients at particular points in time. and really just a, I think, an overall better ability to manage the grid, much more continuous tuning of the performance and the operation of the wind farm. So really some, I think in this case, some really direct business benefits that Siemens was able to achieve through adopting this this infrastructure and this strategy. A second one I'll talk about briefly here is one of our engagements with a branch of the U.S. military. This particular system is an asset tracking system applied in a military context. And fundamentally, what we're talking about here is a network operations center that is responsible for keeping track of all of the services, military operations in a particular theater or field of battle or what have you. Pretty challenging technical application, and the service had had developed an infrastructure to really track these assets, and the design goal was to be able to track 100,000 discrete assets and to be able to update those every second. And the infrastructure that they had developed to perform that consisted of about 500,000 lines of code, had been developed over an extended period of time, and required some pretty heavy-duty computing power to be able to execute. And even with that, that infrastructure struggled under the particular technical requirements that it had to deal with. So what we were able to do in our engagement was, I think, make some pretty impressive breakthroughs here. So first of all, we were able to enable the infrastructure, the amount of code to implement this infrastructure to be reduced by really a factor of 10. And that relates back to something we talked about earlier, this data-centric infrastructure where the communications middleware is doing so much of the work for you that it relieves the application of having to do a lot of that work, and that, of course, reduces the amount of code that you have to write. In this case, they got a tenfold decrease in the amount of code required to implement the system. As you can probably imagine, therefore, it took a lot less time to develop, and because it was so much more efficient, it required an order of magnitude plus decrease in computing power. And even with all of that, much less code, much less time to develop that code, much less computing power, they were able to far, far exceed the operational requirements that that had been given to them. If you recall, 100,000 tracks, and in this particular system, they were able to track 250,000 tracks, and so it was a pretty impressive gain there through the adoption of this infrastructure. So with that, I'll just get to the takeaways that I would ask you to consider as we wrap up the session here. And the first is that this trend toward IT/OT integration as being driven by a real business imperative. I think that through the surveys that we've seen, as well as our own conversations, there's really, I would say, almost universal mind share in the business world for this topic. It's not just located in any one geography or any one industry. I think this is global, and I think it's across many industries. And I think it's existing because there is a very real sense that there are real measurable business gains available by companies in pursuing this IT/OT integration strategy. I would also say that there's a perception of large barriers to adoption. There's a sense that we don't have the technical solutions available today. And I also think that there's a concern that we really don't even have coherent strategies. And I think that relates to the fact that IT systems and OT systems tend to be built and implemented and deployed by different parts of the companies, right? The CIO typically does not get involved in the specification or build-out of an OT system, and the OT system architects are typically not involved in the selection and deployment of business applications. So we've had these two very separate worlds that need to come together, and I think because it's such a new phenomenon, we don't really have good strategies in place for how to do that. But I would also point out that we no longer have the luxury of waiting, and I think that I think that's because of scale, right? Because integrating all of these systems, this sort of Facebook of things or Internet of things, there's an explosion of data going on, and it is greatly, greatly exacerbated by pulling these systems together. And what we're seeing over and over again is that existing infrastructures are failing to scale with these new sets of requirements. And so we're going to have to deal with this. As I said, I think that's where the sense of urgency is coming from. And for those who are ready to really start to look into it, I think that RTI's got a very good start on the problem. We think that this product family Connext is a very good step in the right direction. It forms what we believe is as we call it an edge to enterprise real time SOA. As we talked about, it's an infrastructure with the performance, the scalability, and the reliability of operational systems, along with the integration and the communication patterns that are important for enterprise systems. I'll just give you a quick snapshot on RTI if you're not familiar with the company. As I said, we're a world leader in scalable communications for these real-time operational systems. We've had a very, very strong history in the aerospace and defense world, but we've also seen increasing adoption for our technology in a variety of industries, including industrial control, automotive, healthcare, really all the kinds of operational systems that we spoke about earlier. There are hundreds of thousands of deployed copies of our software in hundreds of different unique projects around the world, and we're a privately held company based in Silicon Valley, but we've got offices around the world. So lastly, what I'll mention is that if this topic is of interest, there are ways to find out a lot more about it. Of course, you can come to our website and find white papers and all sorts of good things. But I would also point out that we do have a roadshow that is fast approaching, where we're going to develop this topic in much more detail. We'll be talking about some of the business issues that we've discussed here today, but really going into the technical solutions in much, much more detail. Obviously, today I simply touched on the products and the technologies, but in this roadshow series, which is the roadshows are a half day long, we'll be going through the products in detail, the roadmaps, and we'll also be providing demonstrations of some of the technical challenges that we talked about. So if that's of interest, I would really encourage you to attend one of those roadshows if one is in your area. And with that, I think we'll wrap up. And Mike, I guess we'll turn it back over to you. And if we can answer some questions, we'd be happy to do that.
Thank you, Kurt. That was an excellent presentation and very informative. We do have time for a few questions, and I'd like to once again encourage the audience use the box on your screen to enter your question, and we'll try and get to it before the end of the webinar. If not, we'll have somebody get back to you later. So, Kurt, I've seen some of these forecasts for the Internet of Things with billions or potentially even trillions of devices on it. So I can certainly see that more and more companies will be looking for solutions to address the challenges that you described. And our first question is, how many companies are using this today?
Right. So the as I mentioned earlier, the RTI Connext product family builds on our existing infrastructure that has been designed into hundreds of distinct systems and deployed in hundreds of thousands of applications. So everything that we've been talking about is based on our existing RTI data bus technology. And what I'd say here is that you can really only get so much done in the lab. It's only through the trial and error of putting out many, many thousands, hundreds of thousands of real-world systems in a variety of industries that you can really experience the type of real-world scenarios that it takes to build out a solid, deployable infrastructure. So really, in a sense, this technology has been around for many years and has been deployed in many systems. And what we're doing is we're really extending our capabilities to really address this new set of requirements, but starting from that fundamental foundation.
Next question is your real-time SOA platform part of the DDS standard?
Yeah, so that's a good question. So really, RTI Connect builds on our DDS solution. So for customers who want an infrastructure that is fully compliant with the OMG DDS standard, then really what they should use is RTI Connect DDS. That's our market-leading product with, as I said, 70-plus percent market share. But if your system requirements are such that they go beyond what's actually specified in the DDS standard, so for example, if you need other communications patterns like request-reply or command-response, well, those capabilities are available in the RTI Connect messaging products. Now, for all of these products, the underlying wire protocol is the OMG RTPS real-time publish subscribe protocol, which is part of the OMG DDS standard. And what RTPS does is it ensures that all of the systems and applications that connect to the data bus, regardless of what protocol or technology they are using, will be able to interoperate with each other.
Okay, so next question is, in the military app makeover that you described, how long did it take for training, et cetera, so that you could hand it off to the client?
Well, actually, it was really the client that did the work. I listed there that they sort of rehosted the application on the new RTI-based infrastructure in a year, but the reality is it actually took much less time than that. But I wanted to be a little bit fair, or maybe not too grandiose in our claims. But the fact is that they were able to very, very quickly rehost their application on our infrastructure. The only role we really had in that, other than providing them with our technology, was to give them some pretty basic training. We have a standard course and a standard architectural service that we provide. But once we had conducted that with them, we handed it off, and they really did the implementation themselves. And so we can bask in the glory a little bit, but it's really their team that was able to accomplish such impressive results.
Hey, question from our audience on what does the word connect mean?
Well, that may be one better for the marketing department, but it's one of those deals where you've got to find something you can trademark and has a unique name. So I guess connect is hopefully obvious. We're talking about connecting things together, and next would perhaps convey a next generation infrastructure. So glomming those two together, you get a nice trademarkable term called connect, and I don't claim to be a marketing person, but, hopefully it sort of rolls off the tongue.
It is. Next question is, can you give us an example of discrete OT and IT systems and the adapters and connects integrators in one of your charts?
Oh, boy. Well, I think the Siemens example, I think, is a pretty good example, right? So on one side, what is the operational system there? It's a wind farm, right? It's a physical system that is consists of these really very, very impressive wind turbines with these huge blades, and so it's obviously a physical system. And And it generates massive amounts of data. I think there are, don't quote me on this, but I think there's something like a million data points associated with one of these wind farms and something like 500 turbines in a single system. So you can see it's a very large physical system, and generates, huge quantities of data, right? So that's the operational side. The business side is, I guess, what you might call the operations center. It's the business system that is responsible for operating the power plant itself, right? Directing the energy to where it needs to go, monitoring the system, performing optimizations on the system, perhaps depending on changes in wind patterns or changes in weather. Lots and lots of stuff going on. So again, the challenge there is how do you take this massive amount of data, which by the way is being updated at several or something like 100 times each of those data points, something like 100 times per second, I believe. So you can sort of get a sense of the massive quantities of data, and how do I bring that data into that business system in such a way that I don't overwhelm the enterprise service bus, right? I've got to get that data up to the business applications that are performing analytics and business logic and optimizations and so forth. How do I do all of that? And that's really where the challenge comes in, because enterprise systems have not typically had to deal with that sort of, highly real-time or, as Oxford Economics put it, instantaneous information, especially not at those volumes. So that's what's really new here, and I think it's a pretty good example of the kinds of things that people are trying to do. And again, you can think of this in, I think, really almost any industry where you've got these large physical systems that generate lots of data, and we're only seeing more and more of those every day. That's really the challenge. That's that impedance mismatch that you need an infrastructure to overcome, and it's an infrastructure that, as I said, can accommodate both these kind of real-time, highly scaled operational requirements, as well as the integration and and sort of the business-inspired communication requirements of the business side.
I think we have time for one more question, and that is, does Kinext replace my enterprise ESB?
No, definitely not, and I think that's a really important point. So in most architectures, we would expect to live alongside of a customer's enterprise service bus. So the Kinext infrastructure will deal with all of the demanding, high-performance, large-scale issues that emanate from the operational side, but then integrate with the customer's existing enterprise service bus to move that data into and out of the operational system. So very definitely we are not trying to replace the ESB. What we're really trying to do is to provide an infrastructure that can sit beside an ESB and integrate with that ESB such that this new set of requirements can be accommodated.
Thanks, Kurt. Well, that brings us up to our time limit for today. I'd like to once again thank our presenter, Kurt Schacker, and RTI for providing us with this very informative webinar. Kurt, did you have any closing comments?
Well, not really. I think I think this was a lot of information, and hopefully it got people thinking about some very important topics. I guess what I would just point out is, as I said, if this is the kind of issue you think you are dealing with and want to understand it better, I would just encourage people to take a look at one of these live seminars in these different areas. We'll be doing more of these later on in the year, but this is our first set of these coming up very, very quickly. And as I said, if this is of interest, we would look forward to seeing you there. And hopefully we can use that opportunity to get into more detail and answer any additional questions that people would have at that time.
Thanks, Kurt. And thanks to the audience for attending our webinar today. want to remind you that this e-cast will be posted online at the URL that is shown on your screen within the next 48 hours. And you can also note that an audio-only podcast version will be available. And yes, you can search for embedded_ecast on iTunes and find all of Open System Media's ecasts available for download as MP3s that you can play on your iPod. So thanks again. That concludes our webinar today. Thanks for attending.